Today's reading is taken from John 13, verses 33 to 38. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, just as I told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times.
Thank you. So in our series on new things, we're going to be speaking about the new commandment. But the first point is it new? A new commandment I give you, love one another. Well, before the event in our reading took place, Matthew records in chapter 22 a conversation where someone asked Jesus, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. So is this command really new? Luke recorded a similar story with an expert in the law testing Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what is written in the law? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus replied, you have answered correctly. So loving others isn't new. It wasn't new at the time. But both examples above were about love your neighbour. And the reference probably came from Leviticus 19, verse 18. But in Luke 10, Jesus then goes on to explain neighbour in the story that we know as the Good Samaritan, where the neighbour is the other, the different, the people and cultures and behaviours and beliefs that we don't like, not just neighbours being the people next door. Loving when it's hard, when it's unpopular, when it's uncomfortable. But this is different. Here in John 13, Jesus and his disciples are there in an upstairs room at the Passover in the days and hours before he was to be crucified. Judas has just left the room, so he's there with the 11. And in verse 33, he says, my children. And in verse 35, he says, by this will everyone know that you are my disciples. So this new commandment isn't to just generically love other people. This is a very specific commandment about church and community and being a follower of Christ. You see, Christ's teaching wasn't just a refinement of the Old Testament or a clarification. 5 weeks ago here, we heard about the new covenant. It's a new thing. And the new covenant isn't just a new relationship between God and individuals, a new relationship between individuals and God. It's a new way of the people of God to relate to each other. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church. Build a new thing. We heard about renovations and new buildings a while ago. Jesus doesn't say, I will renovate my church. He says, I will build my church. The church of Jesus Christ is a new thing. And this was the new rule that applied to and governed this new thing, that we love one another. This is a characteristic of the people of God in the new covenant that wasn't a characteristic of the people of God in the old covenant. When we think of the words that are used to describe church in the Bible, body is the one that springs to mind first for me. It's often described as a body. Ephesians chapter 3, through the gospel, all are members together of one body. And later on in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he's describing how God equips his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There are many, many more references to the church as a body using that metaphor. Another metaphor that's used mostly in Revelation is the church as the bride of Christ, the focus of love for Christ. But the bride, one thing, not multiple things. So if we are all of one body and all the focus of Christ's love, as we are, then it follows that we must love one another. Firstly, because we have a deep interdependence with each other. Every single person in God's family, every single person in Christ's church matters and is there for a purpose and a reason. But this deep interdependence isn't just for self-preservation as a community. Each one of us isn't just made in God's image, and we are, but we are purchased by God's sacrifice. We are a vital part of his body, his plan. How could we decide that someone in that group doesn't get our love? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." This interdependence and love for each other isn't a happy byproduct of us all just being lovely people, as you all are. It's a fundamental part of what it means to be in community, in covenant relationship, in church, under the headship of Christ. The word in our Bibles that's most often translated as church is ecclesia. And from that Greek word, we get the word ecclesiastical, so you can see the church link. But ecclesia is two words stuck together, ek meaning out of, and kaleo meaning call, so called out of. And that word call in the Bible, when it appears on its own, is often used for divine calling, invitation, summons. So when that word ecclesia is translated as church, it refers to Christ's people called out of the world, called by name for a specific purpose. Now, in some cases, the word ecclesia, its original use in Greek was for a group of citizens that were the representatives of the population, if you like, and came along to big events to debate matters of state. But here it means something quite different. When it means church, in most cases, it means all of God's people, all that he has gathered and assembled out of the world through all time. In other cases, sorry, I got the wrong way around. In most cases, it refers to smaller groupings. It refers to individual geographical groups, gatherings of God's people in a city or in a house. But when it's in the latter case, when it's referring to a smaller group, there's always that sense that it's part of the bigger thing. It's a subset of a larger ecclesia. And the subsets are never against one another. They're always part of the larger ecclesia, the larger called out. So let's talk about love for each other in this called out group of people, as part of a larger called out group of people. The first thing is it's not constrained to our local ecclesia or just our denomination. On Friday just gone, we had the World Day of Prayer that Marion helped facilitate here in the church, with Nigeria as the focus. An example of us showing love and being part of the larger ecclesia. But what we do in mission and in giving and in prayer for the larger church is part of that commandment to love one another. But secondly, and whether it's the larger ecclesia or our closer group, this isn't the same as love for neighbours or love for strangers. Because others love, other people love, non-Christians love in other ways. Compassion is not a uniquely Christian thing. But Christ says in verse 35, "By this will everyone know that you are my disciples." So it must be something different. There must be something different about that love that will mark us out as children of God if we are doing as that command invites us to do, tells us to do. And the clue is in the next verse, "As I have loved you." Not a human love or a neighbourly love, but love like Christ. Jesus started that evening in the upper room by washing his disciples' feet, an act of service and submission. So that gives us a clue as to the type of love Christ expects us to show one another. And the section with the commandment to love one another came immediately after Jesus saying that he was going. So this love for one another is a gift. Now Christ left us his example and he left us the Holy Spirit, but he also left us each other. To me it seems that a section that says I'm leaving and then a commandment that says love one another is his gift to us, that we are, in a way, acting on behalf of Christ in loving each other, being channels through which Christ's love is shown, not just to the wider world, but very specifically to each other. The Apostle John, who was by Christ's side as he said all this, wrote later in his first epistle, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, let us also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So this is the model of love for one another. Not a few coins or a minor inconvenience to help someone out, but a self-sacrificing love of complete devotion and service to one another. It's a really high standard. And it's one that, if we're honest, we struggle to meet. And let's be honest, some people are hard to love. We need his Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We can't just decide to love others. It's too hard. It's not a human thing to freely give love of that nature. But thank God, as Timothy says, God gives us a spirit of power and love and self-control. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Romans chapter 5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's the love. Psalm 23, my cup overflows. Because when God's love is poured in, it doesn't stop pouring in. There's more than enough to give away. It's never empty. But it is hard to give of yourself. It's hard to give away. Because we have this natural instinct that we need to control our own destiny. Look after our money. Control our time. Organize things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, God will supply all your needs. And it follows directly on from a section where Paul is talking about gifts and generosity and giving, and he's thanking the Philippian people for supporting him financially. And he says, God will supply all your needs. So giving of ourselves is followed by God filling us up. We are never short if we are dependent on God. I don't know if you noticed, as Kathy read, but Peter missed that commandment. He completely missed it. Christ says, I will be with you only a little longer. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you. Very next person to speak in the narrative is Simon Peter, who says, Lord, where are you going? He stopped listening when he heard that his Saviour was going away. He missed a bit about a new commandment. So let's not miss that command. It's a command that's direct from Christ to his dear people, his beloved children. It's a command that goes hand in hand with dependence on him for a spirit of love and for all our needs. And it marks us out. It marks us out as a sign for Christ's glory. Amen.